309, 39 degrees on the outside. But don't let that temperature fool you. It feels much colder than 39. Huh, Tim?
Yes, it does. Looks can be deceiving this
yes,
time around.
Yes, the wind chill factor is well down in the 20s, and it feels like it, even though the wind is out of the south.
Mm-hmm.
And supposed to warm up, though, for a couple of days. We may even, Bob Larson told us yesterday that we may actually reach near 60 or actually attain 60.
I'm liking that.
Over the weekend. I may have to get my shorts back on. But then comes real cold. And that cold is going to not dump snow on Indiana. It will dump snow right here on us. And so next week is going to seem very winter-like. I recall that new Toro snowblower you bought.
Oh, yeah.
Is it working?
I haven't tested it out yet. Same as last year. I wait until the last minute.
Yeah, yeah. one of these years, that's not going to work out for you, my friend.
Shush.
Yeah, uh-huh. One of these years, you're going to have to shovel that.
Well, if it doesn't work now that you jinxed me, I'm going to call you at 3 in the morning and
okay.
say, hey, man.
Yeah.
What's the deal?
I'm going to say you didn't start your snowblower early
neener,
enough.
Neener, neener.
and I'm rolling over and going back to sleep because I have an afternoon shift. welcome back. It's been a while since, you know, I see you on Saturday mornings,
mm-hmm.
but it's been a while since we've encountered each other here.
Especially during the week at doing this, but filling in.
Yeah.
So, you know.
I was telling your predecessor, Abby,
mm-hmm.
That you and I go back a long ways, around about 20 years now.
That's right.
Back to the mid-90s.
Can you believe that?
Yeah. And it's funny because neither you nor I look even a day older.
That's right. That's right.
But,
young at heart.
Yes, yes. Immature
right.
and struggling to stay that way. Coming up next half hour, we're going to talk with John Hoadley. He is one of the candidates for the Democratic nomination for Sean McCann's seat that he's exiting with hopes of going to the Michigan State Senate. And John Hoadley would like to take over the able job that Sean McCann did. We're going to talk about the governor and the Republicans in the House and Senate. We're going to talk about their attempt at controlling the judicial branch, not being satisfied running just the legislative branch, well, and the governorship, so the legislative and executive. Now they think they've got better ideas on how to control the court system in the state of Michigan. And we're going to talk with John Hoadley about that coming up at 3:45. Meredith Quinlan joins us at 4:40. She's from Michigan United, and they're one of the groups that is really pushing the increase in the minimum wage. That's the word I was looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And not that we know anything about minimum wage,
no.
But they think we ought to be making round about $10 an hour. Surprisingly, there is unanimity of opinion on that. Even the majority of Republicans think we ought to be raising the minimum wage. The most recent study I saw, poll, showed that 58% of Republicans think we ought to raise the minimum wage to $10 an hour. And that wouldn't compensate for the cost of living, but it would certainly help get people off of government programs. You know, we hear conservatives talking about how we've got to cut back on the food stamps or the SNAP program. Well, that's hard to do when you have companies that depend on the government to help pay their employees because they're not paying their staff an appropriate amount of money to make a living. And Walmart, when you're filling out your application, they show you how to apply for food stamps at the same time. Well, I don't think companies ought to be freeloading. And if you really want to cut back on the programs to support poor people, well, then we need to make poor people less poor. It's, call me crazy, but really the only way to solve the problem is to pay people a living wage. And we're going to talk to Meredith Quinlan about that coming up at 4:40 this afternoon right here on 590 WKZO. 38 degrees. Wear your sunglasses. But wear an over jacket. It's cold out there, folks. Raj Taylor and Tim Abramowski taking you home this afternoon. And
it's just weird to hear that. Taking you home on a afternoon when I'm used to getting people up in the morning.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Or at least helping out.
This is the other end of people's day.
That's right.
This is sort of...
So don't get confused out there.
Tim Abramowski Unlimited. You hear him mornings, you hear him afternoons. You said there's a connection to The Biggest Loser.
There's a controversy. Do you watch all these reality shows and all? I mean, I don't keep up, but no. This was the main big headline when I opened up my Yahoo here this afternoon.
Ooh.
Biggest Loser controversy.
And bring this all together for me.
Well, apparently viewers were stunned Tuesday night when the show revealed that trainer Julian Michaels, I don't know if you're familiar with her.
No.
She had broken the rules and given her team members caffeine pills without a doctor's permission. Apparently that is a no-no. And, you know, they're trying to do some damage control, you know, some of the show management and the higher-ups, but just the Biggest Loser controversy, and that was all that there was in the headline, so I had to check it out.
And so all you got to do is take no-dos and you could lose weight?
Apparently so.
Why didn't anybody ever tell me about this till now?
I thought you were already in the know on that.
No. Do I look like I'm in the know?
No, you're one fit fella.
Yeah, right. But no, I had no idea. If you took no-dos, isn't that what caffeine pills are?
It doesn't say what exactly they took, just caffeine pills. So no-dos or any type of
How about
stimulant, I guess.
Just drinking coffee.
That's not a pill. Have a coffee pill yet. We're not in the Jetsons era yet.
Well, we do have a pill. Hey, speaking of pills, did you see a pharmaceutical company in Great Britain is perfecting a pill that allows you to feel the upside of drinking without having to drink?
Really?
Yeah. It's a pill you can take and it makes you drunk. And you wake up the next day with no hangover. It's all the buzz and none of the downside.
Wow.
Yeah. And now, apparently, because it does give you the alcohol buzz, you can't take the pill and drive.
That was my next question.
Because it makes you drunk. It just doesn't make you hungover after the drunk. God, I wished I'd known about that in college. That would have saved me taking a whole bunch of Tylenol. I mean, not that I drank in my college career.
I can't picture that at all.
No. Lips that touch liquor never touch mine.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I wish they'd had that pill. I could have.
I guess, what's the point then? You know, why make it so you can feel the effect?
So you're one of those people that only drinks alcohol for taste.
Yes.
You never drink alcohol for the buzz.
No.
Okay. Well, then, Tim, you wouldn't understand the concept. But trust me in this. There are other people out there in the world who do.
Just want to go out and tie one on, huh?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And this lets you do that without the negatives. Now, what I didn't read is that moderate alcohol consumption is good for you. It's good for your blood, reduces your risk of heart attack.
A glass of red wine or something every day?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. One glass of wine or two beers a day, my doctor tells me, is good stuff.
Now, he's got the PhD, so he must know what he's talking about.
He also told me that there's no saving him up for the weekend and drinking all of your beers for the week on Saturday night.
Oh, come on.
Nah, I know. These doctors, they want to rain on every parade. And this pill, it doesn't say whether or not the pill gives you the health benefits of alcohol. But it apparently does give you the buzz that you get. And so you can, without drinking yourself to excess. I one time tried to drink all the beer in Kalamazoo back when I was going to school.
Back in your heyday.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And I swear one time I came damn close to accomplishing that goal. those were the days.
Those were the days.
What I can remember of them. It's a wonder I learned anything. You know, maybe that's why I'm doing this. If I'd had a successful college career, I could have been gainfully employed and not just been here playing radio with Tim in the afternoon.
But it's so much fun.
Yeah. Hey, the WKZO.com AccuWeather forecast. Sun and patchy clouds, brisk this afternoon. It says brisk and cold. What is the difference between brisk and cold?
I'm sure there is one.
I'd like you to look up the definition of both brisk and cold.
Okay.
And we'll find, because we're going to talk to Bob Larson here in a few minutes. And
isn't brisk a tea? Yeah, right here, brisk.
Yeah. At any rate, the high should approach 40, and it did. We're 38. But the AccuWeather real feel temperatures mainly in the 20s, and boy, is that true. Clear, windy, and cold tonight, a low of 28. Brisk and chilly tomorrow and Friday. Times of clouds and sun and a high 44. The high Friday, 48. And supposed to warm up over the weekend, up in the 50s on Saturday for the Western game. Are they playing here in town, do you know, Tim?
Who?
Who? Western and Central. You know, Western Michigan University?
Oh, yeah.
That's that,
I'm
that,
familiar
that,
with.
That big college
that,
thing.
That school over there on the hill?
Yeah, yeah. Well, there's less on the hill now because they tore down a lot of those buildings. Do you know, is that game?
I believe it's here in town.
Oh.
But let me just quickly double check, shall we?
Yeah.
All right.
And speaking of double checking.
If my computer speeds up here any.
Oh, boy, don't hold your hopes on that. did you get a chance to see?
It is here in town.
Okay. The word brisk. What is the difference between brisk and cold?
Well, according to the Merriam-Webster Dictionary online, brisk, moving or speaking quickly, quick and efficient, pleasantly cool or cold, done with quickness and energy.
Pleasantly cold.
That's what it said.
So why would you say brisk and cold? Brisk would infer cold in the very definition of brisk.
Cold, having a low temperature, having a temperature lower than normal body temperature.
But okay, that's the definition of brisk was pleasantly cool temperatures.
Mm-hmm.
So why would you say brisk and cold?
You'll have to ask Bob when he calls.
Yeah. I don't
put him on the spot.
Oh, he didn't write this. Bill Degger wrote it.
Oh, okay. We won't talk to Bill.
Yeah, so I guess I can't harass. Well, I can. I can harass anybody about anything I want, but it really.
Okay, here's the Merriam-Webster definition of cold: having a very low temperature, having a feeling of low. Now I'm getting some consumer energy message. Get out of here.
Don't you hate the pop-ups?
Yes, I do. Very much so. And now my computer's froze.
Ah. Yep, it's the pop-up that does it frequently, too, mm-hmm. because now they have video and stuff in them. This computer thing, do you think this is a fad?
Yeah, the computer thing, that won't last.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Along with pop-up ads. And
We'll get beyond this at
and all the video stories instead of actually reading it.
Yeah, but brisk and cold, so pleasantly cold and cold
right.
This afternoon, according to AccuWeather. And if you've poked your head outside, you know that that's true. CBS News Update coming right at you. Local news update behind that. And then Bob Larson.
The tax man's taken all my dough and left me. Blazing on a sunny afternoon, and I can't sail my yacht. He's taken everything I got. All I've got's this sunny afternoon.
Seemed like an appropriate bumper choice this afternoon.
Very sunny out there.
Yeah, we got sun, and we got brisk. And we've got cold, and pretty soon we'll have Bob Larson to tell us when all this cold is going to move away, and then when the cold returns. They have already identified the cold air pool up in the Yukon that's headed in our direction. Ain't that right, Bob?
I missed the beginning part of that conjecture. What were you talking? Something about a cold air pool? I didn't.
Oh, the air, cold air pooling to come here next week is already sitting up in the
right.
Yukon.
Right. And, yeah. This is something we talked about the last few days. How?
Yeah.
And most importantly, not just that it's going to turn very cold again, as every bit as cold as it was the past few days and nights. But the wind direction, once this cold air mass comes in next week, is going to be different than what we just had. So the lake effect snows that accompany the cold will be oriented differently than what we saw yesterday and the previous night. Instead of a more of a north-south gradient like we just had, it'll be more of a traditional west-northwest to east-southeast. So that'll push the lake effect snow farther inland and away from Lake Michigan, and that's going to include most of our area.
Ah, and well, it is. We're approaching Thanksgiving, and that's when snow traditionally gets cranked up here. No severe weather with this next week, just cold and some snow.
Right, exactly. Now, before the cold comes in, it's going to be a warm-up. And by warm-up, I don't mean just 45 or something along those lines, as I mentioned yesterday. And I still believe we've got a good shot to actually get to 60 or above later this coming weekend.
Ooh.
So that'll be different.
Yeah. And a chance to do the last winter cleanup things.
Yeah, you're going to have to time that carefully, though, because along with the warmer weather will come rain. And so you might have to, when you're doing outdoor yard work, might have to plan accordingly and move in between the showers. It won't be raining constantly, but you're going to have to take advantage of whatever dry intervals we come up with, because I think both Saturday and Sunday could bring rain. The bulk of the rain, most of it, certainly the heaviest rain, is coming Sunday afternoon and Sunday night.
Good, because we've got a big football game Saturday afternoon at 1 o'clock. Western takes on Central, and that is a rivalry that goes back eons. You got any clue what Saturday afternoon's chances of rain?
Good news, bad news. We'll be above 50 degrees. Bad news is the wind will start to pick up. And there is a threat of showers, particularly after 3 or 4 p.m. So during the latter stages of that game, could start to get wet.
Ah, but it'll be a warm rain, and nobody will complain about sitting out in a warm rain.
Hopefully not. Warm being a relative term, right?
Yes, yes, 50s.
Right.
So the real warm day will be Sunday, and that's the day with the highest rain chances.
Right, and that's particularly for late Sunday and Sunday night. It could actually pour for a while Sunday evening as that next cold front comes through. And then as soon as Monday, and this is a little bit faster than what we were looking at yesterday and the day before, but as soon as Monday, I think we start to move back into the colder weather. Monday could be one of those days where the high temperature is reached first thing in the morning and then temperatures drop in the afternoon, not unlike this past Monday.
Yeah, yeah. So we're probably going to have a pattern here of every Monday the weather's really crappy.
We'll have to see. That might be the case. You know, we do get into some of these seven-day cycles, and you know how it's so ironic that oftentimes it ends up being a seven-day cycle that leads to lousy weather on a weekend.
Yes.
And it's tough to shake that.
Yeah.
This time around, maybe we're setting up so that the worst of the weather seems to be always happening on a Monday. We'll see how long we can ride that train.
Well, that'll make Mondays so much nicer go back to work. So what's our word for today, Bob?
Well, the word is more focused on the short range, and that word is recovery, because we are expecting recovery in temperature. You know, it's been a struggle to get much past the mid-30s the past couple of days. We'll shoot for mid-40s tomorrow, very close to 50 on Friday, I think at least upper 40s, then into the 50s Saturday, and probably 60 or above later Sunday, so we recover in the temperature department.
Well, we'll get an update on that winter storm headed in our direction both tomorrow and Friday. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome, Roger.
Always good talking with you.
Good talk to you.
Bob Larson, AccuWeather meteorologist extraordinaire. Joining me now is John Hoadley. John is a candidate for the seat Sean McCann is vacating in his desire to move to the Senate. John, how you doing this afternoon?
Well, I'm doing all right, Roger, but I wish that we would have had some better news from our friends at AccuWeather.
Well, yeah, but it is November, and we've got to expect some snow, and at least that will melt and go away. Some of the things that the Republicans in Lansing are doing are going to have a much more long-term impact, and that is messing around with the state's court system. And I have some frustrations with that, and was wondering what your thoughts were.
Well, you know, when we talked last week, you know, I was really concerned about the bill that was moving along, and, you know, I think it's atrocious that Governor Snyder says he's got concerns and doubts about it and still signs it into law. And now we have literally in I would like to say unprecedented, as my friend Nathan Triplett points out on my Facebook page, you know, this is becoming a habit where the legislature is taking, you know, extraordinary power grabs for partisan purposes, and it's going to have a long-term effect on how regular folks seek justice in Michigan.
Well, and I don't think they took the time to think through all of the ramifications. We have laws on the books that require the first court hearings to be in circuit court. And can a few Republicans in the House and Senate, can they rewrite all those other laws simply by reconfiguring the Court of Appeals?
Oh, I mean, I'm sure they haven't thought through the logical, you know, second, third, and fourth steps. And, you know, I mean, as we noted before, they're literally having folks that aren't used to, courts that aren't set up to make determinations based on evidence, the whole trials, to now all of a sudden be the gateway for some really important lawsuits that'll be, you know, impacting the state. And, for example, one thing that a lot of folks don't know about this SB 652, this Republican power grab to change the courts, is that it's going to make it so any sort of civil rights lawsuit or open government case that would normally have to go through and hear some sort of trial and evidentiary hearing gets moved to this other court, and they'll have exclusive claims on hearing those issues, and the Republican get to hand pick which judges are going to hear the cases that are going against, you know, potentially the Republican legislature or the Republican governor. That's not fair.
Well, even FOIA requests are meant to be initiated in a circuit court. And now, instead of doing it locally, you'll have to deal with the appeals court in Lansing.
There's just so many of these concerns that people are having. And, you know, really, this is just a way to short-circuit the system, right? It's been the Republican playbook over the last few years. If you don't like the rules, change them.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the type of Michigan that I think most people want to live in. It's not the type of Michigan that, you know, I want to live in. And it's, you know, these are the type of catalytic moments that, you know, are inspiring me and the folks that have asked me to run to take out and take a step out there and say, let's change the conversation.
Yeah.
You know, let's make this a place that really lets all voices have a part of this conversation and find some places where we can compromise and agree, even if we don't like the way the rules are currently written.
John, do you think there'll be court challenges of this law? And if so, where will the court challenges to this law go?
Well, the way I'm sure there will be some sort of challenge. There's a lot of constitutional questions related to the way it was passed. Was there even the two-thirds majority that would be needed to potentially change, to make any sort of jurisdictional changes in the way that the courts are set up? So there's some constitutional questions that are dubious at best. And, you know, those are going to end up in the Michigan Supreme Court. And it will be, you know, we're going to hope that better angels prevail there, and that rational thought and, you know, and a clear reading of the Michigan Constitution, which we all have a duty to uphold and defend really does have a chance to play out.
Now, there's only five justices on the Supreme Court, correct?
There are seven justices on the Supreme Court.
I'm sorry, I meant six, but aren't we one short, one justice short?
I think we're fully stocked right now. I could be incorrect. I didn't, unless I missed the news with someone retiring.
Okay.
So I think we are fully, the court is fully staffed. Unfortunately, right now it's a five, although it should be a nonpartisan court, it is a 5-2 court of five of those justices have been appointed by Republicans or elected from Republican nominating conventions, and
right.
two have been coming out of the Democratic side.
Right. Would there be any reason or any possibility that this could end up in federal court, or is this all Michigan state law and therefore in the Michigan court system exclusively?
Well, I'm not a lawyer, so I wouldn't know for sure, but it seems to me like this is a Michigan law, and relating, and the claims are probably going to be based on the Michigan Constitution, so then it would stay in the Michigan judicial jurisdiction.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I appreciate your trying to help us make sense out of what's going on in Lansing. And this is going to muddy the waters for a while as we try to puzzle our way through this. I appreciate your taking time to chat with us this afternoon, John.
Well, thanks, Roger. And everyone is welcome to join the conversation on my Facebook page. You can find me on Facebook, facebook.com/Hoadley4Rep, the number 4, Rep, and would love to hear your thoughts and opinions.
Why don't you give your Facebook page one more time, John?
Facebook.com/Hoadley, the number 4, Rep, R-E-P.
Thank you, sir. Have a good afternoon.
Thanks, Roger.
John Hoadley, candidate for Sean McCann's seat that he's vacating in his hoped-for move to the Senate. 354, 38 degrees. Here comes a news update from the 590WKZO.com newsroom. Bachman Turner Overdrive play here in town several times. Once at Wing Stadium. Mm-hmm. I don't remember where the first time I saw him was, but good concert. They were a good band.
You can't go wrong with BTO. Good rock and roll band.
Yeah, yeah. They're not real artsy, but just good rock and roll.
It's the music that counts.
Yeah, yeah. And although I like the Guess Who, and that's where the Bachman brothers came mm-hmm. from. And I confirmed with our news gurus that I know this is hard to believe. I was wrong. I had not realized that David Viviano has been appointed to the Supreme Court here in Michigan. Oh. And I thought we were a justice short. And nope, there are all seven of them present and accounted for.
Okay.
Five Republicans and two Democrats. WKZO.com AccuWeather forecast. Sun and patchy clouds. Brisk and cold this afternoon. A high approaching 40. And we're still at 38. AccuWeather real field temperatures stuck in the 20s, and that seems fair. Clear and windy tonight. Continued cold, 28 the low. Brisk and chilly tomorrow and Friday with times of clouds and sun. A high tomorrow 44. Friday's high 48. And we heard Bob telling us in the 50s on Saturday and near 60 on Sunday.
Yeah.
But then fasten your seatbelt, folks, because the big chill be coming. And Sunday afternoon, some potentially heavy rain, and then turning much colder on Monday with snow.
The Trifecta continues after CBS News and Kalamazoo's news from the WKZO.com newsroom on 590 WKZO Kalamazoo.